You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Entrepreneurial Fit Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. Entrepreneurial Fit Radio is your location for health and fitness information for the busy entrepreneur. And as we all know, without good health, you cannot be successful nor productive. Today, we are speaking with serial entrepreneur and risk taker, Mr. Travis Jones, who founded Result-Based Training Gyms in Australia and has since grown the business to a $10 million empire with locations spanning all across Australia and now has its sights set on the USA with two locations there already. Apart from RBT Gyms, Travis has also founded a business coaching company, Think Tank Australia, a fitness app, a digital marketing agency, and even a charity. I'd say you're pretty busy and successful. Mr. Travis Jones, welcome to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN.
Thanks so much for having me today.
And you're most welcome. Certainly is our pleasure. So tell us, what were the biggest hurdles on your way to building a $10 million company? We'd certainly love to hear those details.
I think the biggest thing we've got to look at is, you know, the first million is probably the hardest. The first million, and then I guess the 8, 9, and 10. The first million, you have to overcome your own self-doubt. You have to overcome your own fears. You have to overcome cash flow problems. Like raising the capital wasn't the biggest, wasn't the easiest for me. So what I had is a bit of a passion and a bit of a dream. And you try and open up your first business, and I had to sell my car. I moved into the first location for the first year, and you know, you're coming into the first 3 months of paying rent, and you know, I had 3 months rent free. The month four was kicking on, and I was living in a gym. I was like, how do I pay this $10,000 lease? I hadn't really had the cash together, and that was the first hurdle. I was like, it was real. I was, how do I raise this money? And I didn't have all the clients needed at the time to raise this cash. So I sort of had to pull a bit of a rabbit out of a hat as I was growing the cash flow. And I called up Groupon. I ran a deal on an infrared sauna. I didn't actually own an infrared sauna at the time, but it's essentially a sauna that is very similar to the health side of things. I didn't want to discount my actual services. So I ran this deal. I got it up there in over 14 days. We actually sold $15,000 worth of infrared saunas. I raised that money. I called up as soon as the cash came in. I paid the rent, and I bought an infrared sauna, got it express delivered, so I could then have it, the sauna, there for the people who bought the deal. I guess, you know, it's early on, the first 3 months into the business, I had to think outside the box to try and keep us moving forward. And I guess the next thing is, the hurdle I had to face was finding a mentor, finding someone who could give me some guidance, because my marketing back then was, whilst it was a lot of hustle, a lot of grit, it was walking the streets, it was trying to drag people in. I knew there had to be a better way. And I said, okay, there was a person who was offering a year of coaching for the person who could rep their blog the best. And it was this huge competition. And I was trying to think, how could I win it? I know I need a mentor. I know I need to market better. I know I need to get some skills so I can start working a bit smarter and less hard. And I ended up tattooing this person's website on my shoulder. And I won the year of coaching. And, you know, within 6 months into my business, I started to gather tools on marketing, tools on systems and operations. And the biggest thing for me, that was the line in the sand that I was going to make this work. And, you know, understanding marketing, understanding systems, understanding operations, and having someone guide me over that first sort of, you know, the next year of business, coming 18 months into the business, I think that was the most crucial aspects for me, is thinking outside the box, having someone to guide you. And then as you start to move to out of the technician role into an operator role, there's a bit of a hurdle because you have an identity shift. And, you know, coming up towards that, you know, $8, $9, $10 million company, and now I think we're about 12 or 13 million. When we look at this, it's now having another shift with the leadership team, the operation side of things, the cash flow, as far as making sure everything else and all the rest of our ducks are aligned. But I think for a lot of people listening, it's like those first year, those biggest hurdles, that's yourself that you have to overcome.
And I can certainly feel the adrenaline from here, fast-forwarded version, no doubt, but really good stuff. Tell us, what is an out-of-the-box tactic that you've used in business to increase revenue?
I think the first one was the out-of-the-box tactic, which was literally the infrared sauna, which increased the revenue. I think it was you have to go, what do I have as a service and how can I implement it? The other one is, like, we all know this is another out-of-the-box way to increase the revenue. In the fitness industry, you know, when we look at Pareto's principle, 20% of your customers, they want to pay you more money. So if you don't have the service for them, they'll start paying somewhere else. It was probably, you know, 2 years ago, we knew we had to raise about $100,000 for the company. And we had our gym members around, you know, probably 12 locations or 13 locations at that time. And we weren't running fitness retreats. We had about 2,000 members. So we knew that we had about, you know, 200 to 400 people that could pay us more money. So we had to think about a service where they could do that for us. So what we did is we launched some fitness retreats. You know, we launched them in Bali, and we sort of went to our marketplace and said, we're going to do fitness retreats. It's going to be 14 people per location or per retreat for 7 days. It's going to be $2,500 for this retreat. And then from that, we went to our active marketplace already. We hadn't found a location yet, but we sold out 3 retreats. So we sold out 45 people over the 3 retreats. About $2,500 each, so we bring in about $90,000 worth of revenue without spending a cent on marketing because we had the active marketplace. I jumped on a plane to Bali the next day. I found a location. I locked it down, and we essentially, you know, within 3 months, we were bringing in that $90,000 worth of revenue because we didn't try and, you know, innovate the company and try and throw all these new things in. We just looked at our current resources. I think that's one of the biggest things people have to look at is, like, what resources do you currently have? And that's your customer database. It could be sometimes your employees. But looking at this for us, we looked at our customer database. We knew that was a resource. How can we tap into it a little bit further and offer them a service that we know that they would pay for, which was the fitness retreats, which would bring in the extra $100,000, and that's essentially looking outside of the box.
I'd say that's an out-of-the-box tactic, no doubt. Now, what do you think the number one trait an entrepreneur needs to be successful?
I'm actually just reflecting on this. I think there's a couple. I don't think, you know, a lot of people say hustle and grit and all the rest of it. I think that resilience is very crucial for an entrepreneur. So if we look at resilience, you have to lean into the wind. There'll be so many obstacles in your way as an entrepreneur, whether it be self-doubt or whether it be your personal inner obstacles, or, you know, the people around you, they'll be your obstacles as well, telling, doubting you, saying you can't do it, saying, why don't you just get a job, telling you that, you know, you're crazy for doing what you're doing. So I think it's combined with resilience. I think that's the one thing, and I'm going to throw a couple of them in there for you. One's active patience. I think in society today, I think we have this instant gratification that we want. We always want to, like, when I talk to people, they want to throw up posts on Instagram, get likes, make money, and we want to, you know, be an overnight success. There is no such thing as the overnight success, but you can't just sit there manifesting your success either. So you can't just be patient and use the power of the secret to hope that you actually get success. You have to be actively patient. So every day be consistent and disciplined, understanding that you must take action with patience over time, and then you will truly get the success. And if the last thing, if you can couple that in, we want active patience, we want essentially our resilience, and the last thing, we want to have a positive attitude. Because as an entrepreneur, because of the roadblocks, because of the setbacks, because everything is against you, you know, as Tony Robbins would say, where your focus goes, your energy flows. And if you're negative, it's very easy to go into this downward spiral of negativity. When you are negative, you can't have the creative thinking that an entrepreneur needs. So if you're using positive psychology and you're increasing you're focusing on the obstacle is the opportunity, then you can be a problem solver. You can actually overcome any obstacle that comes to you. And that's what an entrepreneur truly needs to have.
Yeah, resiliency is huge. Now, how do you motivate your staff? I'd be curious.
When we look at motivating the staff, I think for us is we look at, you know, the 5 love languages, or essentially that's probably one of my favorite books of all time for relationships. But I also have the 5 languages of workplace appreciation. So it's understanding what your staff need as far as, you know, do they need quality time? Do they need acts of service? Do they need gifts? Do they need words of affirmation? Do they need physical touch, high fives, give them a hug when they need to? It's like understanding the love languages and understanding each one of your employees and how they actually receive that love or that appreciation from you. And if it's someone that does want a gift, it's making sure it's a personal gift. It's making sure that you knew that your employee was like, oh, I'm a bit sore, I'm a bit tight, my neck hurts. It's buying them a gift that actually represents what they need. So it's like, here's a massage. I know, you know, you've been working hard. I know you've been a little bit stressed. So now we're actually giving something personable so we understand our employees. And also we're giving the love language that they want. Or it's understanding that they know you're busy, but you're setting an hour of time for them just to communicate with them and having a coffee or having some lunch with them. So giving them that quality time so they can have that interaction with you because you are their leader. I think if we can tap into this and we can also give them the correct love language and also delve into them on a personal growth, not just a business growth level. So you have to map out, where does it look like for you personally in 1 year? If we look at that wheel of life for them, then growing their education, growing their wealth, growing them spiritually, growing them as far as their health, growing them as far as every part of their life. And then we go, okay, so, and also we're going to keep you on track for that, but also where can we be inside the business? How do I need to support you to get you where you need to be? So if you're growing your employees and also if you're appreciating your employees, they're not going to look anywhere else. They'll stay with you for longer, and obviously they'll work a little bit harder as well.
For sure. Today we are joined by Mr. Travis Jones, the founder of Result Based Training Gyms in Australia, with locations spanning all across the country and two locations already in the USA, here on Entrepreneurial Fit Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, I heard you made $1 million in sales in 8 weeks. How did that happen? That is absolutely incredible.
Well, we were up against the wall. What happened is we owed someone $20,000 we didn't know about, and they said we need to pay it in 7 days. Now, from that, I was like, okay, right now we can't make $20,000 with our current business in 7 days. What can we do? We're currently in the fitness business side of things. We're going pretty well. We're doing $1 million. I was getting businesses reaching out to me for help to grow their business. I was like, okay, great. We need a no-brainer offer, an irresistible offer, where we coach other businesses, other fitness businesses, to get them to success. So we created a 8-week program called our 8-week incubator program. It was $8,000 for 8 weeks, and we guaranteed them $16,000 back, or we would double their money back. We knew we could do it, so we had an insane guarantee for them because we also needed the sales. I went out to my existing network and also did about 7 seminars around Australia over the next essentially 3 weeks. But over those next 7 days, I went out to my network, my email list. I went out to every single person I could, and I sold the first 20. I got a $1,000 deposit down. I made the $20,000. I paid the person back. But I was like, this is actually going crazy. And over the next 8 weeks, we sold 100 people into our $8,000 program. We raised $800,000 in revenue that we coached people through our 8-week incubator. And then off the back end of that 8 weeks, we created a mastermind called our Inner Circle back then, and we upgraded 40 of them into a $35,000 year mastermind. So we turned 800K, upsold people into 1.4 million. So over about a 12 to 16 week period of time, we grew a $2 million company.
Again, that is absolutely outstanding, incredible. That'll certainly motivate you as well, no doubt. Now, what is it like being business partners with your wife? Get into some of those details.
My wife is my rock, and I try to be that for her as well. I think being business partners with your partner is so crucial to understand expectations you place on each other, because it's very hard. Like, I think it's like 80% of businesses are family-owned businesses or family-run businesses. If you don't have clear expectations on each other or allow each other to stay in your own lanes and support each other every single day, you can take work stress into home stress. I think for us, it's having very clear defined lines, what we're both great at, and also supporting each other in that as well. And then at the same time, having time for me and my wife outside of work, where we can connect as a relationship, connect as a couple, so it's not all just work, work, work. So it's making sure that, yes, this is work time, and then, yes, this is when work time finishes. If you can have the clear lines and you can communicate about other things other than work, I think that's probably the crucial thing to having a strong relationship. And having that date night, that's one of the things we instituted. We've got two young kids that are, you know, nearly 4 and 1 years old. So for us, it was like 4 years ago, we said we still must have date night every single Friday, no matter what, where we can connect as partners and we can connect as a couple, so we never lose that.
And that is certainly so important, and some really good points there. Thanks for sharing those from a personal standpoint. Now, how do you continue to scale your company in a saturated marketplace?
The fitness industry is probably I would say, very, very saturated. There's a gym popping up on every corner. Whilst it's easy to get into the fitness industry right now, it looks like everyone's opening a gym or something like that. There are people also closing down at the same time. There's people coming out with offer after offer. I think what we have to do is we have to come to the marketplace, which is with an offer that's better than the rest of the market at a price that's very competitive. And also, I think it's marketing, which is one of the most crucial things. Whereas, you know, most people just look at looking after their customers. We try and really focus on looking after our employees. So if we can make our employees or our personal trainers or our coaches the best in the industry, I think that's the biggest thing for us. It's keeping down staff turnover is something we're trying to focus on heavily. It's educating our staff, so we're having internal education providers to make sure they're growing, and also giving them the ability for uncapped earnings, so increasing the ability for them. You know, with a lot of people in our industry, personal trainers, they're casual workers or they're contractors. We provide our guys with complete security and full-time work, so they understand they have cash flow, they understand that they can get the house if they want it, but also we give them the uncapped earning potential of doing the personal training on top of that. So I think for us, it's not just, yeah, having some better marketing in place, it's looking after your team or trying to look after your team better than the other companies look after their team, so we can have a stable environment for our customers, because we know if we retain customers and keep customers, then that's how we're going to grow. We can't just have a bucket with customers falling out the bottom and trying to fill them at the top. We need to keep our employees happy, which keep our customers happy. So then as we add new customers in, we don't have customers falling out the bottom.
Travis, really some awesome information and details today. What a journey you've experienced, and coming from you, your input and insight has been much appreciated here today, and I'm sure inspirational to the audience as well. In conclusion, and lastly, looking at doubt or fear in business, do you ever have doubt or fear within your business?
I think doubt and fear is something that's really interesting. I talk to people all the time about fear, and they either fear their action because of what other people are going to think about them, because I'm afraid to put out content because of my peers, or I'm afraid to take action to open my business because what if it fails? I think there's a couple of things in life, and this has to come down to who you are as a person. If you fail in business, it's purely feedback. And I think I try and stay away from fear as much as possible, because I know at the end of the day, I have a wife who loves me, and I have two kids who love me and adore me. And for that, if there's a $10 million company or wherever we're at the moment, it falls over tomorrow, the learnings I've had will go back into a one-bedroom apartment, live there with our kids, I'll get a job, I'll save some cash, and I'll start again. And instead of turning a $10 million company in, you know, 7.5, 8 years, I'll do a $10 million company in 3 years, because the learnings I've learned so far will accelerate my success in the future. So I think fear and excitement, they run on that same chemical pathway. You just have to take a deep breath in and attach the emotion to excitement, being excited about the possibilities rather than fearing the problems. So if we can start to lean in towards excitement and move away from fear, that's when you can actually embrace the curiosity, you can embrace the creativity, and you can embrace the fun that is being a business owner.
Well, from all that you've told us here today, it really shows you how important the psychological factor is and how you can be quite successful combating against negativity and fear and doubt. So really good stuff here today. Before you go, where can listeners get more information on yourself and on your company, Result-Based Training Gyms?
For me, the best place to find me at the moment is Just head over to Instagram, and it's at Travis Jones Entrepreneur. If you want to find RBT Gyms, it's just rbtgyms.com. So if you want to connect with me, follow me, ask me some questions. If you want some help, reach out, Travis Jones Entrepreneur at Instagram, or if you want to follow the gyms, rbtgyms.com.
Very good. Again, Travis, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN. It certainly has been our pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And back at you, we've been speaking with Mr. Travis Jones, the founder of Result-Based Training Gyms in Australia, with locations spanning all across Australia and two locations already within the U.S. And for further details, visit travisjones.com.au. And other links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live streaming location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And join us again for another episode that will help guide you to a more healthy and prosperous year ahead. And once again, as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.